Hello and welcome to another podcast from the Wicketgate magazine. We're continuing with the series on What Saith the Scriptures, and we're now beginning to look at the various epistles. Now the first epistle to follow the Acts of the Apostles is Paul's epistle to the Romans. It is not difficult to see why this should be the case, for the epistle to the Romans contains the sum and substance of saving faith from beginning to end. It should be borne in mind, however, that the order in which we have Paul's epistle set out for us in the New Testament is not the order in which they were actually written. This fact, of course, has no real bearing on the relative merits of any one epistle over another, for all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, but it is handy to know when endeavouring to align various parts of the Acts of the Apostles with the formations and doings of the different churches mentioned in the Scriptures. The following table is approximate, but gives a generally held dating, etc., for the epistles of Paul and their place of writing. First epistle to the Thessalonians, AD 53, Corinth. Second epistle to the Thessalonians, AD 53, Corinth. Epistle to the Galatians, AD 55, Ephesus. First epistle to the Corinthians, AD 57, Ephesus. Second epistle to the Corinthians, AD 57, Ephesus. Epistle to the Romans, AD 58, Corinth. Epistle to the Ephesians, AD 62, Rome. Epistle to the Colossians, AD 62, Rome. Epistle to Philemon, AD 62, Rome. Epistle to the Philippians, AD 63, Rome. Epistle to the Hebrews, AD 63, Rome. First epistle to Timothy, AD 67, Macedonia. Epistle to Titus, AD 67, Nicopolis. Second epistle to Timothy, AD 68, Rome. Now from this above table, it'll be appreciated that God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. Both Ephesus and Rome indicate periods of imprisonment for the Apostle Paul, so that we might say that the bulk of all his writing that have come down to the church through the Holy Spirit have come out of environments and situations which might be deemed alien to any spiritual progress. But God's ways are not our ways. When, or by whom, the church at Rome was founded is uncertain, but it appears to have existed from the earliest days. In all probability, it owes its origins under God to the strangers of Rome, who were present on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. A number of these would have believed in that first initial ingathering of God's people, and on their return home after Pentecost, would have set up the church there. The testimony of the Roman church was regarded unknown throughout the whole world, as Paul tells them, and it came under frequent bouts of opposition and persecution. Paul had never been to Rome, and at the beginning of the epistle expresses a long-held desire to visit them. When he eventually does, of course, it is in chains and under a Roman guard. That has no wise deterred the Roman believers from greeting him, and a party of them march 50 miles from Rome to Appia Forum to meet him and escort him back to the city. Acts in chapter 28 and verse 15. The epistle to the Romans, however, goes far beyond any intimation of Paul's wish to visit Rome, and it is rightly considered to be the most systematically doctrinal statement of the faith ever written. The great subject is the way of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. Paul is absolutely insistent that there is no other way of being found acceptable with God apart from the righteousness that is by faith. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. God gave his holy law in order that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God, Salvation is by faith and by faith alone. This was the case with faithful Abraham, and it must be the case with any who will truly be the children of faithful Abraham. This insistence on salvation by faith alone, however, in no wise eliminates a life of righteousness required on the part of those thus saved. Justification's great bedfellow, sanctification, is therefore spelt out line upon line, and the closing chapters of practical application are glorious to behold. Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Wicket Gate magazine. Trust you found its content a blessing to you.